Today the church closes out its year. This is like New Year's Eve in the church today. It's the last Sunday after Pentecost. And in the church we are celebrating the feast of Christ the King. Some people refer to it as the reign of Christ, which is another way of describing what we are discussing today. In Scripture, you'll notice that there are different images or descriptions of Christ. And King is just one of them. Jesus is given this title, although he is quite unlike earthly kings. We know that over time, political leadership has evolved in some countries where the monarchs are ceremonial heads of state. And some countries have heads of state with varying degrees of power in government. And if we're familiar with the constitution of our country, you'll know the responsibilities of the Governor General and the Lieutenant Governors in the various provinces. But let us pause for a moment and think of our own images and characteristics of anyone in political leadership. Of course, all around us we are bombarded with commentaries about the behavior of people in political, in community, and in religious leadership. Just listen to the news and you'll get quite a selection from which you could draw your own conclusions about the characteristics of leaders today. I'm sure that you'd have your own opinions, don't you? But today, what do the scripture readings tell us about kings? From 2 Samuel, which was read by Raj, we know that it is believed that David was on his deathbed, reflecting about leadership, when he described a righteous leader, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God. And it summarized for us what it means to be an impartial and honest ruler. Some scholars have suggested that David was actually speaking in prophetic style, referring to a time of perfect justice and peace, often described as the reign of Christ. So from the reading in Samuel, we hear three characteristics of leadership: just, righteous, God-fearing. Tell me, how are our leaders, including our leaders in this room, how are our leaders doing so far to be just, to be righteous, and to be God-fearing? And then we move on to the second reading from the book of Revelation, where Christ is called the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Almighty, loving and generous, he who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Christ the King, eternal, someone who spans all of time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. From historical and other records, we know that earthly kingdoms last for a specific time and then fade away. And we don't have to elaborate on that. And that is quite unlike the kingdom of God described in Revelation. But my friends, we are all part of God's kingdom, which is different from earthly kingdoms. And that is great news, because in contrast to the nations built on power and wealth, we are assured that only God's kingdom will last forever. But I would be remiss if we didn't touch a bit on the gospel reading. From John 18, verses 33 to 37, because here we listen to a conversation between Jesus and Pilate, which focuses on two different ways of using power. One is the power of force, and the other is the power of love. Scripture tells us that Jesus went through two trials after his arrest, and these preceded this trial before Pilate, the Roman governor. For many religious leaders of the day, the idea of Jesus as king meant that he could be the Messiah. But for Pilate, the Roman governor, the question was whether Jesus was setting up a rebel government or an uprising against Roman authority. We know from scripture reading that Pilate seemed concerned about a rival earthly kingdom or political group opposed to Roman rule. But our Lord was quite clear in his response that his kingdom was different. And as we read in John 18, verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom." And at this point, Pilate seemed satisfied that Jesus was not a political threat and seemed inclined to release him. But that was not to be, as Jesus' claim of kingship was never really understood by Pilate, was never really understood by the other officials, and was never really understood by the people. So, my friends, are we any different today? We know that in our time, there are many who live in politically and spiritually oppressive conditions. And perhaps some parallels could be drawn to the days of Jesus. But the ideals of Jesus' kingdom are so different from those of the world in which we live. And there are many ways of expressing this. Some people use the word countercultural and other ways of describing the Christian journey. So we as Christians must show that we are followers of Christ by providing humble service to others rather than seeking power and authority. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? We know that Pilate, it appears, had no reason to believe that Jesus was guilty of any crime. Nevertheless, he chose not to release him. And as human, we too often fail to recognize the truth. But if we are truly interested in seeking the truth, we will explore the teachings of the King we serve through Holy Scripture and through the teachings of the Church. In our time together in worship, and just this morning we also did this, we are reminded of the King we serve in the words of what is generally referred to as the Gloria. Let us not just say these words when we come here on Sunday morning, but actually put them into practice. These are the words we said. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we praise you for your glory. For you alone are the Holy One. And you'd recognize that, which we said this morning from the Book of Alternative Services and other texts. So if we really believe that Christ is King of all and that his reign is eternal, then nothing should deter us from our faithful allegiance and service Even when it appears that our society has lost its moral fabric and all around us there's confusion, lack of integrity, and divisiveness. For the scripture reminds us that in the end, our charge as Christians is to follow our Lord and our King. Just listen again to the reported words of Jesus from the Gospel. John 18 and verse 37. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So today I'm inviting each and every one of us to renew our commitment to follow Christ, our Lord and King, despite the prevailing values of the society in which we live. And let us here, as the Church of St. George and Young, use this opportunity to reassess how well we are doing at the end of the church's year. Let us make a year-end assessment as we look forward to the church's new year, the beginning of Advent next week. Today we are challenged by scripture with two choices: the power of force which divides people and the power of love which unites us. Our King is the God of love, and his kingdom extends beyond this physical and this temporal universe. His power and majesty are much different from human monarchs and quite unlike any other king or leader. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords over all creation. From the beginning of time, he is Alpha, he is Omega. And as the book of Revelation tells us, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.